What makes you great? If you ask this question to a Jew in the Old Testament, they would have had a very clear answer. They would have said the temple. You see, the temple was a source of national pride for the people of Israel. The temple was the place where God met with men. And it was something that the people of Israel had that no one else had. It was a source of pride because it was built by the greatest of the greatest kings of Israel, David and Solomon. It was a source of national pride because when people came to Jerusalem, to the capital, they would see this great, beautiful building and they would realize that God was with Israel. What made Israel great for them was that they had the temple. What made them great was the temple was this place of encounter. That you went to the temple to pray to God. That you went to the temple to ask God for forgiveness. That the temple was a place where you met God. And if you were a member of another nation and you wanted to meet the one true God, you needed to go to Jerusalem to the temple. The temple was the source of great pride, not only because it was a symbol of the nation, not only because it was a place where you met God, but because it was a source of safety. Now, why was the temple a source of safety for the people of Israel, for Jerusalem? For this one thing, and I'm going to use a Sunday word. It's like a big word, but it's Sunday, so I figured that works. It's because of the infallibility of Zion. So what's that? The Jewish people believed that God was never going to allow anyone to destroy the temple or destroy Jerusalem because the temple was his house and God was going to protect his house, kind of like in the same way that you and I protect our house. And because they believed in the infallibility of Zion, because they believed that God was never going to allow for the temple and for the city of Jerusalem to be destroyed, they believed that you could do pretty much whatever you wanted. Because after all, we're all safe in here. As long as you're living in the city, as long as you're within the context of the city of Jerusalem, you will be fine. Boy, were they mistaken. Because after time and time again of God telling the people of Israel, you need to shape up. After time and time again of God telling them, you are not living to the highest potential that I created you to. After time and time again of God telling the people of Israel, I created you, I chose you for so much more, and you're wasting your time living away from me. After time and time again of calling the people of Israel to repentance, God did something unexpected. God sent an army. God sent the army of the greatest empire in the world at the time, Babylonia. They entered the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. Not only did they destroy the temple, but they took the people away as slaves. And for 70 years, the people of Israel, the people of God, the people that had experienced the greatness of God in their lives, the people that were so proud of the temple, were slaves serving someone else, suffering without a place to encounter God. For 70 years, they were away. And they felt abandoned, and they felt defeated.
And you know why? Because sin separates us from God. Because sin creates a barrier between us and God, and the only person that gets hurt in the process, it's us. And when Israel found themselves alone, slaves, without a place to worship, without a place to encounter God, they thought that there was no hope. They thought that there was no way out. But you know, we serve a merciful God. And when we make mistakes, when we sin, even though God doesn't like the sin, He still has mercy on us. Have you ever experienced the mercy of God? Have you ever experienced that moment when you knew that you messed up, when you knew that you did something wrong, and God loved you anyway, and He forgave you anyway, and He opened a door when you know very well that you didn't deserve it? Man, I've been there. And that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. The Bible says that God used this pagan king to allow the people of Israel to return to Jerusalem after 70 years. And He allows them to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild. And this is where we find the text of the scripture that we're going to read today. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 1. And I want you to notice what it starts saying. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, I want you to notice something here. God is getting ready to do something. The people of Israel come back to Jerusalem, but there's something that is going on. They're still not free. They're still under the authority of a foreign government. They still don't have a king, but they have a governor and they have a high priest. And God tells the governor and the high priest, you guys, you need to build the temple. You need to rebuild the temple. Now, this is important because the first temple was built in a time of great abundance, when there was a lot of money, when there was a lot of resources. But this second temple was built by former slaves that had very little money, that didn't have all the resources to build it at the scale of the temple of Solomon. So they built the temple with the best of what they had, but what the best of what they had was not enough, was not the same as the temple of Solomon. And after they built this second temple, there was an issue. They had a temple, but they also remembered the old temple. And that's what verse 3 goes on to say. The people that were left asked this question, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not a nothing in your eyes? Now, after they have been 70 years without a place of worship, after they've been 70 years away from the presence of God because of their sin, God in His mercy allows them to return to Jerusalem, allows them to rebuild the temple, but when they see the temple, they're not satisfied. When they see the temple, they say, well, this is not that good. I mean, the temple of Jerusalem, the temple of Solomon was so much better. And now you expect us to worship God here. You expect us to worship God in this little temple. Don't you remember the old one? Because the old temple was great. Oh, I remember so many times that my dad used to take me to that old temple of Solomon. And we will go in and we experience the presence of God at the temple. How do you expect us to worship God in this little thing?
The people of Israel were disappointed because reality did not meet their expectations. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you were expecting something, but you got something else? Where you're expecting a really big blessing, but the blessing that you got was not the blessing that you really wanted? Where you have been praying and hoping that God was going to show up and do something on your behalf, and God did show up, and God did do something on your behalf, but what he did was not what you expected. What do we do when we feel disappointed? What do we do when things in life don't turn out the way that we wanted them to? The Bible tells us what. And God told the people of Israel what. And for the next few moments, that's what I want us to do. I want to unpack a little bit about what God told the people of Israel about their purpose in life and about what truly makes them great. Because I believe that as we unpack the next message of God, we will understand what our purpose as individuals and as a church family, what our purpose is for this season. I want you to notice how it continues to read in verse 4. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not." Did you catch it? God starts telling the people, "I know that you are living in a season that is disappointing. I know that you didn't get exactly what you wanted. I know that the temple is not what you expected. I know that reality is not what you had been praying for. But let me tell you something, people of Israel. And let me tell you something, O Creek Assembly of God. Be strong. This is not the time to be weak. This is not the time to cower. This is not the time to be paralyzed. It's the time to be strong, to stand firm and believe that God is with us no matter what is going on." Now, in the Bible, there is a little detail that I want to share with you because it has blessed me, and I think that it's going to do the same for you. In English, we have this way of talking when something is the greatest. It's called a superlative, right? That is the greatest church in the world. I have the greatest parents in the world. It's like a superlative. There's nothing better than that. Well, Hebrew doesn't have that. So when the Bible wants to say something that is extremely important, when the Bible wants to say something that you really need to pay attention because it's the best, there's nothing greater, it's super important, it would say it three times. And you see it in Revelation all the time when the angels in the presence of God are saying, "Holy, holy, holy." But in this verse, the phrase that is repeated three times is, "Be strong." When you are going through difficult seasons in your life, be strong. When things are not turning out the way that you expected, be strong. Stand firm because God did not call us to live an easy life. He called us to live a life of purpose.
And the purpose of God will only be accomplished if we're able to stand firm and say, God is with me, I'm not moving. God is with me, and I'm going to stand firm. God is with me, and because he is with me, then I am strong. So this is not the time to think that we're done. This thing is barely starting. And God is about to do something wonderful if we're able to stand strong. Now, maybe like the people of Israel, what you're thinking is, I've made so many mistakes. My family has made so many mistakes. Maybe our nation has made so many mistakes. What if God abandoned us? What if God abandoned us? And that's exactly what the people of Israel felt, that God had abandoned them. Why they felt this? Because of what this verse says. Ezekiel chapter 10. Now I'm switching to a different prophet, but it's the same time period. And he's describing what happened when the temple was destroyed and when the people of Israel were taken captive into Babylonia. Then the glory of the Lord went out from the threshold of the house. The house is the temple. And stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth before my eyes as they went out, the wheels beside them. And they stood at the entrance of the east gate of the house of the Lord, and the glory of the God of Israel left. In the middle of the destruction of Babylon, of Jerusalem, in the middle of destruction of the temple, the glory of God lifts and moves east. And the people, when the people saw this, they thought that God had abandoned them. You see, when the temple was built, the Bible says that the glory of God descended kind of like a cloud. And when the temple was destroyed, this cloud was lifted and taken away. But the Bible says that the cloud moved east. This is significant, because even though the people of Israel felt that God had abandoned them, in reality, God was following them. Why do I say that? Because Israel is west of Babylonia. So when the people of Israel were being taken slaves to Babylonia, the Spirit of God lifted from the temple and followed them. In the middle of their suffering, in the middle of a difficult time, God was with his people. Even though they thought that God had abandoned them, even though they thought they were alone, they were not alone, not a single moment, because the same presence of God that was in the temple followed them all the way to Babylonia and followed them all the way back to Jerusalem. God never left the people of Israel. And in the same way, God will not leave you. He is with you. Even when things don't turn out the way that you wanted them to, he is with you. And that is the reason why we can stand strong. It's not because of our own strength. It's because God is with us. God is walking with us. God is living with us. And because he is with us, we can be strong. Not only can we be strong, but we can work. And that's the second thing that God says in his message. He says, work. When things don't turn out the way that you wanted them to, still do what I called you to do. When life doesn't turn out the way that you thought that it was going to turn out, Keep doing what God called you to do. Keep working, keep worshiping, keep praising, keep building the temple, keep serving at church. You see, sometimes when we don't get what we expect, we're like, well, what's going on? And we start asking questions, and at times we say, well, I might as well not go to church. I might as well try to find a new job. I might as well, and we try to do other things.
But God is telling us, no. When life is difficult and when you don't get what you expected, remember your purpose. Remember your calling. And remember that I have you here for a reason. So keep working.
Well, it's just things are difficult.
Keep working.
It's just I've been praying for so long and I haven't seen the miracle yet.
Keep working. Be strong and keep working.
It's just, Pastor, I'm afraid. What if we do all this thing and nothing happens? What if I keep praying and nothing happens? What if I keep doing the will of God and nothing happens?
Fear not. It's the third thing that God told them. Fear not.
Not because you can do it on your own, but because you are not on your own. Fear not because life is going to be easy, but fear not because God is with you. And if God didn't leave you when you were in sin, if God didn't leave you when you were suffering the consequences of your bad decisions, if God didn't leave you when you were a slave, He's not about to leave you right now. God has not brought you up to this place to abandon you. The same God that took you out from Egypt, the same God that brought you from Babylon back is still with you. And He's still in control. And He still has a purpose for your life. So the only thing that we need to do as a church, the only thing that we need to do as individuals is say, Lord, I am going to stand strong in you. I am going to start working. I'm going to do what you call me to do. And every time that I am afraid, I am going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Because you will feel afraid. We all feel afraid sometimes. Fear is super normal. But the thing is that when we allow fear to hinder the plan of God, fear can be deadly. So every time that you feel afraid, what if you take a second and ask yourself, why do I feel afraid? Oh, it's just the future is uncertain. But the God that I serve knows the future. And the God that I serve is a good God. And the God that I serve has never left me, not a single day. So I can be strong and I can continue to work because my God will be with me. So I will not fear, because I know that my God is leading me. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Now I want you to notice what he's saying. God is saying, not only do I want you to be strong, not only do I want you to work, and not only do I want you to fear not, but I want you to keep the future in mind. I want you to be aware of what is about to happen. And God said, in a little while, what seems impossible now will be possible. In a little while, the miracle that seems impossible now will occur. In a little while, the people that you thought that they were beyond saving will be saved. In a little while, the chains that you thought were never going to be broken will be broken. In a little while, that the need that you thought was never going to be met will be met. In just a little while, God is ready to do something. God is ready to do something in a little while. In a little while. The God that doesn't change. The God that doesn't need anything. I love how the Bible says it. The God that owns all the silver and all the gold. The God that doesn't need help from anyone. The God that doesn't need someone to come and rescue him. That same unchangeable, powerful God is still in control, not only of the present, but he's also in control of the future. And he is getting ready to act. So when things don't turn out our way, when we are struggling, trying to make sense of everything that is going on, we need to be reminded of our purpose. Our purpose is to be strong. Our purpose is to do the will of God. Our purpose is not to fear, but our purpose in life is also to live with the future in front of us, in our minds, in our hearts, that we can know that God is still in control. That God is still in control. That the God that owns everything is caring for us. Now, all this is super cool. And it's encouraging to know that God is with you and that our future is in God's hands. But if you've been paying attention to the message, you may be wondering, what does this have to do with the temple? Well, allow me to explain with the following verse. God continues speaking to the people of Israel, and he said this: the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, when God is talking about the future, and when God is letting them know that everything is going to be okay, because he is getting ready to do something powerful beyond their comprehension, he gives them a little extra detail. He says, you remember the Temple of Solomon? I know you do. You remember how great it was and how full of glory it was? You know, you remember how proud you were of that temple? Well, this modest temple that you see before you will have a greater glory. And you will find peace in this temple. And when that happened, when did that happen? Well, it didn't happen when Herod rebuild the temple, when Herod did a makeover to the temple. No. It happened when Jesus entered the temple. Because you see, Jesus never entered the temple of Solomon. That temple was destroyed. Jesus entered the second temple. Jesus entered this temple that no one liked, this temple that everyone thought that it was so not what they were expecting. Jesus entered that temple and gave the temple a glory that no other building in the world did ever have. What made this little temple great was not the architecture, were not the materials, were not the political associations. What made this temple great was the fact that God was inside of it, was that Jesus walked inside of it. And in Luke chapter 2, we find Jesus not even walking to the temple, but being carried to the temple. And we see an encounter with a man of God named Simeon. And this is what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took upon his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. I want you to notice what Simeon was saying. He's referring to the prophecy of Haggai. And he's saying, I can die in peace because I saw Jesus enter the temple. I can die in peace because the Prince of Peace just entered the temple. I can die in peace because I know that the glory of Israel entered the temple. I understand now that the glory of Israel was not a building, that the glory of Israel was a person, that in the middle of trying times, in the middle of uncertainty, we can be assured that what makes us great, that what makes you great, is the presence of God living in you. That changes are going to come, that difficulties are going to come, that things will be hard, and then they will be easy, and they will be hard again, that we are going to experience some unpleasant things at times, but that in the middle of everything, if the presence of Jesus is in us, that makes us great. That our purpose in life is to carry Jesus. That our purpose in life is to be the temple of Jesus. Just like that little temple that no one liked, that everyone was so disappointed, was used by God to bring peace and glory to Israel, the presence of Jesus in us will do the same. Now, what do we do? What is our purpose in life when we are living in times of disappointment and uncertainty? We're strong. We remain strong. We stand firm. We do what God has called us to do. We fear not. And we remember that we have Jesus inside of us and that that makes everything okay. The Apostle Paul said it differently. He said, if God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus, with Jesus, he gave us everything. Now, I would like for you to do something with me. Would you bow your heads? And as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a second with Pastor Brooks, let's pray. And let's allow God. Let's tell God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that in the middle of uncertain times, Jesus is the one that gives us strength. Jesus is the one that empowers us to work. Jesus is the one that allows us to be brave. Jesus is the one that we can be proud of. He's the source of our glory. Father, we come before you and we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you, God, that even in times when unexpected things occurred, even in disappointing times, we still have hope. Thank you, Father, that the source of our glory is not based on circumstances, but that Jesus is the source of our glory. And Father, even though at times when we feel disappointed, it's just a crushing feeling, tonight we are reminded that you have never left us, not even one second. That your power has walked with us, that you've cried with us, and that you will never leave us a step in our life, that you will always be with us. So tonight as a family, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we're going to celebrate it, God, to proclaim and to remind ourselves that you are powerful, that you are glorious, that you are with us, that there is nothing impossible for you. Father, as we gather at the table, we recognize that you are the source of our glory, that you makes us great, that you have given us a purpose. Thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. And I pray, Lord, that as we partake of communion, that your will be done. In Jesus' name.